Thank you for joining us in another study of God's Word. I hope that you will find this study both helpful and encouraging. And if you have a Bible with you, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Earlier this week, I was shown an ESPN commercial that has been floating around on Facebook and YouTube and maybe other social media outlets. And the video was titled, "There's No Place Like Sports." It was just a video montage of various achievements reached in a myriad of arenas. And with each clip, they would ask emotionally appealing questions. But ultimately, the thematic question was, where else can we all find something to believe in? And their provided answer, obviously, for that question was sports, given that this is ESPN. But think about that for just a moment. Think about what message is coming across. Essentially, the implications of this ad is sports, or more to the point, the material things of this world. That is where our happiness comes from. That is the meaning of our lives. Now, if that's the case for you, what happens when it's taken away, as it has been during this quarantine? You've lost everything. So for the next few moments in this study, I want to focus on what our priorities might be in this life compared to maybe what they should be, what they definitely should be in this life. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, Jesus teaches, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Now, let me ask a question. Whoever you are, where is your treasure? Is your meaning in life based on financial stability, job position, or sports? You know, because sports isn't the only thing that has been taken away, but everything we've just mentioned has been put on hold. The one who has worked so hard to be financially stable is now having to deal with the fact that all that hard work has been stunted or even undone in just a month or so. And if you're a Christian, you've probably heard this before. Either way, it's good to be reminded. But the commonality between each thing that we've described so far, along with every other material blessing and thing we enjoy in this life, the commonality between them all is that they are fading. In fact, it's safe to say that you are guaranteed to lose them all. And if your happiness, your life, is based on the material things of this world, then you're doomed. Because even if you have been able to hold on to something still, someday you will pass on and it will belong to someone else. Just as Solomon reminds us in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is why Jesus says, don't store up treasure for yourself on earth, because they will rot, rust, or just be lost one day. That can be a painful truth. But the beautiful thing about Jesus' teaching here is that those who are his disciples are not left to despair in that truth. And why is that? Because as Luke puts it in Luke chapter 12, and I love the way he words this, God has provided for us an unfailing treasure in heaven. And so it makes sense that when we get to the latter part of chapter 6, the part that we're all more familiar with, that Christ says, worry not. In fact, he says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried. And so why can he make this claim? Because unlike the treasures of this earth that will undoubtedly fail us, our treasure in heaven can never be destroyed, and it can never fade away, and it can never be stolen. It will never fail. But that tranquility only comes from an unrivaled relationship with God. Which takes us to our next point, which is there are some who think that they can store up treasures for themselves both on earth and in heaven. But that's not what Jesus teaches here. In fact, in verse 24, again, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and wealth. And your translation there might say mammon instead of wealth. What that means is just wealth or treasures of this life. But interestingly, mammon is also used to personify an object of worship. Idols. Idolatry is what is being described here. So what Jesus says here is clear to us. Obviously, you cannot serve both God and idols. So I ask you, Christian, what master do you serve? Do you serve God or do you serve mammon? Maybe during this quarantine something has been taken or kept from you, like sports, for instance. And now that it's gone, you've realized that it is something that has been rivaling your relationship with God. Maybe you've read where Jesus says, as we just read a moment ago, where our heart is supposed to be. And you realize that's not where my heart is. This might be the wake-up call that some of us needed. And who knew that the coronavirus, that this quarantine could be such a blessing, could be used as such a tool to reveal what might has been or might be still keeping us from a closer relationship with God. Now, if you've come to that knowledge, then let's get to work. Now, what that work looks like may vary from person to person. Maybe you're someone who knows exactly what that idol is in your life. What you might have to do is the same thing that the rich young ruler had to do when he came to Jesus to find eternal life. And that was cut off at the very root, the cause of your idolatry. Give it all up. Now, as we see with the rich young ruler, that can be very hard and difficult, particularly when that stuff is where your heart is. So not only is there work that needs to be done outwardly, but also work needs to be done inwardly. And as Jesus says in verses 22 through 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. If our eye is bad, we might have to fix our sight. To work inwardly, to work on the heart, that is difficult and it takes time. And because of that, it can be very discouraging. But we can be encouraged knowing that there is no price, no cost too high to receive that disproportional and priceless treasure in heaven when we finally get there. But another thing, we can know whether the work being done is helpful or not by assuring that each action is dedicated to God, not our idol. Maybe you are someone who will need someone else to keep you accountable, need the help of someone else to keep you accountable in that regard, to help you see the work in front of you more clearly. Please don't be too embarrassed to ask your brethren for help. And I know I say this repetitively, but it's because when we as brethren are unified in helping each other the way God ordained, it is impactful, not just in our evangelism, not just for our evangelism, but for our own growth as well. It works. And so let's try and help each other, and let's try to be that help for one another and know when to ask for that help. But as we close this study, there are several questions that one could ask, like the one we started with at the beginning. And there are several different answers that people could give in response to those questions of where can you find joy or where does your life find meaning? No matter how much we want those people to answer with God as their response, neither you nor I can answer for them. But there is one question that I think is the most important. And simply, that is due to the fact that it is impossible to answer but one way. And that question is, where else can you find salvation? Ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, there is a necessity for salvation. And if you were to ask someone that question, those who understand that, those who are being honest, would not and could not give an answer. Because no matter where we go to look, there is no power, there is no source, there is no sacrifice that could accomplish our salvation and forgiveness of sins, except we come to the cross. So if you're not yet a Christian and you would like to study more about this, if you want to have that salvation which comes from Christ's sacrifice, please contact us and let us help you in any way that we can in that way. As we continue living through these times, through these stressful times, let us be very mindful as to whether we are truly living for God, and always be looking for opportunities to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Thank you so much again for joining us in this study, and God be with you till we meet again.